Thank you very much, Jill. I would like to thank to all the panelists for speaking today. We heard very very different presentations, although they have something in common. We heard about very high-level, noble data protection and privacy principles. We heard concerns of consumers. Also, we heard about the risk assessments. But also, we heard some tricks and tips how to push your fridge to work for you. But I would like to be fair now, and I would like to open the floor to you. I have some set of questions prepared or in mind, but I would like to sparkle a debate and involve you, the public. So are there any questions you would like to ask to our guests? Please, the floor is yours.
Hi, I'm David Fuschi from the University of Reading. A question dealing with, if you want, privacy on the one side, but also the commerce aspect of it. We are requested more and more frequently to store our credit card details, including the security code, in order to be allowed to do things, from buying tickets to buying a book. And at the same time, the insurance of the bank are less and less willing to pay you back if your details are stored and stolen. So at this point, there's a contradiction in terms. Why am I forced to give you all my details, so open up all my security, and at the same time, I'm asked to keep it secret? Thanks.
Who wants to take the floor?
I think this is a kind of consumer protection related question, so I'm happy to start answering it. I would like to first of all maybe clarify that in the European legal framework for consumer protection, this so-called payback guarantee is not so much used as it is in the US. We know that in the UK this is offered as an additional service, but in continental Europe it's not something that happens a lot. It is part sometimes of some insurance schemes, but I would like to clarify that this is also something that is even I wouldn't say worse for European consumers, but the situation is different on the two sides of the Atlantic. And definitely there is a possible contradiction in the different legal obligations deriving from I wouldn't say so much data protection in this case, is more a question maybe of payment security, authentication of the payment, and then the other counterbalance that can be given in case something goes wrong, who is liable. And this is something that is already typical of the internet that we know nowadays, of the so-called e-commerce, and definitely it should be thoroughly assessed in an Internet of Things environment where those transactions are going to be very frequent and possibly automated. So there, who is in charge if something goes wrong, who is liable, who has to pay back, and is there anything that can be done in order to prove? Because the second part of your question that you didn't ask, and maybe I can anticipate, is what happened from a legal point of view in order for, if there is no payback scheme guarantee, how the consumer can assess and can prove what happened, and how can the bank well, they generally can do it very well. How can they elude their responsibilities? So all those aspects of wider consumer protection rules are going to be definitely challenged in an Internet of Things environment.
Other questions, please? So I will then ask my dear panelists one question. So please imagine that you would be advisors of my commissioner, of Vice President Reding, and advising her on the reform, how to tackle it from this technology point of view. And so I would like to ask all of you to go to the point directly, to bring the kind of the most important elements of the reform. What do you think would be very important and very good and well placed? I don't want any diplomacy, it's just few sentences. So we would start from Barbara, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's already on the way, so we already seen the contents. I will try then not to quote what's already in there. I think it is on the right track. On the other hand, as I said also in my brief position speech before, I think we will need to be flexible at the same time. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure how this can be how this can actually take place practically. But I think this goes to show that we need to sit down all together. I mean, lawyers, legal experts, technologists, and the like. Because this is an issue that has to be addressed holistically. So one thing that I would like to see in there is a balance between addressing the issues on the one hand, and on the other hand, not over-regulating, because we know that this is an issue, especially in Europe, which is not actually bad. I think we can turn it into an advantage, but there is a risk. So again, we talk about risk assessment, but still, I mean, this is an approach that we need to have it highlighted in there, and I think this is very important. So in practical terms, I think that there should be, let's say, a group of people from various backgrounds discussing on these issues and trying to find actually the limit between having regulation, hard regulation, what levels of regulation is it possible to have, and also at the same time remaining flexible. I answered with a challenge. Sorry.
Yes, absolutely, you did. And NISA has a really long history about launching studies and working on these issues. So NISA is helping the European Commission quite a lot, I would say. Then the second contribution would be András, I suppose. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. My advice would be to your commissioner that get rid of the bureaucratic over-regulation, for example, the data protection registry. My second would be to build on the existing phenomenon of convergence between the US and Europe, because without that, if we have a stringent regulation only inside Europe, we won't be able to enforce it. I feel it on a day-by-day basis. We won't be able to enforce it. And the real, the landscape of privacy will be shaped by US companies. So my two advices, that would be.
Thank you very much. So Chiara?
Yes.
Voice of consumers. Yeah.
Yes, I must say that Commissioner Reding has proven to be extremely attentive to consumer demand, even in her previous job. So I wouldn't need to really convince her of the importance of ensuring data protection for consumers. I would like to repeat what I said in my presentation, is that we do believe that the principle of the current framework are sound. Some additional definitions might be needed, and I agree with the definition that has been given by the, I think it was the Austrian data protection, of direct and indirect data, private data. This is extremely important, and some little adjustment in that sense. But what I would draw her attention to is to the temptation to use one part of one article of the Data Protection Directive about the industry self-regulation. This is something that exists since 1995, if I'm correct. It has been used only once for direct marketing, and I do not believe it's going to work better or differently in an Internet of Things environment. This is something that I think it's not appealing to the industry, apparently. It's not something that is going to be extremely successful, or has not been extremely successful so far, and I would say do not consider it for the revision of the framework. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chiara. So, Gérald, floor is yours.
Yeah, I will just make a little remark here, more than a real input, is that we don't have today good tools to train the user, because it's a new technology and we are going from 0 to 100. And as an example, back to the credit card information, people are giving a lot of things from the credit card to the name, the address, and extra, and there is no level. And what something which I think needed, if we don't want to have a regulation which is strong, is to be able to put level. And today we have 0, or I give everything. And I suppose that we should explain to the citizen that sharing your nickname is something easy, but sharing your credit card, it's more important. Sharing your credit card, it's important, and sharing, I don't know, if you like making sailing or hiking, it's not important. And there is today not at all any information to the public to say that you have access to plenty of services, and inside the services, take care about that. So if we have some kind of rules, or I would say scales, then potentially you can apply a very stringent security privacy rules to high level of information and let the people be, I would say, more open to share other information. And today, no. If you want to, I would say, protect something, you put the high level of constraints to all the data, which I think is not possible, nor for the end user, not for external people of the EU. So I would say some discussion and about which data are very important for the end user in terms of privacy and data protection, and some in which the end user may decide to share without any protection.
Thank you very much. So unless there are any other questions from the public, oh, there is one, please. This is the last question, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pity that it's a last question, because the answers of the panelists were very interesting, and I think that they raised the debate to another point. So I'm Valérie Barnol from France Telecom, and listening to the panelists and remembering what Lara Srivastava said about fragmentation of identity, I would like to ask Mr. Berambo what he thinks about these different levels and the fragmentation of identity, or the linking of this fragmented identity. And another point that I'm still wondering, as a telecommunication operator having worked on the NFC, is that basically the security, well, I will use not very precise words, but there are elements, I mean technology elements like chips or like information given, that can say, well, you are liable, the operator of the hand mobile builder is responsible, is liable for the failure of privacy in the transmission of the data. So there are other things than legal, I mean than purely legal, that are involved. But my main question is for Mr. Berambo about the fragmentation of identities, the linking of identity. How does he see this in the global framework? Thank you.
So no, but yes, of course, identity is very important. And again, we have many identity, and we will not come back to having only one identity. So secure element, again, it's a way to help the end user to control who access to this part of my identity, who access to this part of my other identity. So secure element is certainly a way, and of course mobile network operators are using secure element for accessing to the network. So it's really a good way to provide secure information and secure way to protect the data. So in short, because here we can open the discussion for 2 hours, I think we need to have levels. Secure element is clearly a way to control these different levels and to allow the end user, yes or no, to share information. So,
thank you. I just received a notice from a coffee machine that our coffee is getting cold. So I would suggest we go for a coffee break and we can continue our discussion and debate a little bit more informally without the microphones. Thank you very much for your attention.